The Pittsburgh Steelers went and signed their defensive lineman, Larry Ogunjobi, former Bengal and Brown. We're going to talk about his impact to the roster and what it means for the defense right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video if you enjoy it. Hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes that you can find, including our bonus episodes that include breaking news updates and bonus questions that sometimes we'll take from our listeners. Thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. And today's episode is brought to you by BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com, it's a place where you go to find the amazing jewelry, make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners can get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement rings. Be sure to use that promo code Locked On at checkout. We'll talk more about that later. Joining me, as I said earlier, Wes Euler of Steeler Nation Radio is back on with us. We always have Wes on. It's another West Wednesday. We had one last week. We get to have one back-to-back weeks. We're enjoying this district. And we don't got to work for our topic today, Wes. The Steelers went and signed Larry Ogunjobi to a one-year deal. It's first reported by Adam Schefter, then confirmed by the terror, basically said, you know, announced by the team. Big move for the Steelers. Gives them a defensive lineman back at the top of the depth chart that now is going to be right in the mix with Cam Hayward, Tyson Alulu, Chris Wormley, and anyone else that they were planning on making plays this year. Ogunjobi, a 7-sack man last year. He's twice had 5.5 sacks in his season. Was signed to a deal with the Bears earlier this offseason, but that would have paid him around $13 million a year for 4 years or something like that. But there were issues that came up. He had a foot injury or an ankle injury that he didn't pass a physical on, and then he wasn't on the team anymore. Now he's on the Steelers roster. How big of a move is this for the Steelers to get a guy who is used to AFC North football and has a track record for getting to the quarterback?
Yeah, I think this is good business, Chris. Now, you know, there is the backdrop, obviously, that he did just fail that physical with the Chicago Bears not too long ago. But you know what? It's a one-year deal. I mean, best case scenario, Larry Ogunjobi is healthy and he proves, you know, why he was a $40 million man, and he goes out there and he's able to reset his market. And, you know, you thank him for his services and someone else pays him, you know, pretty decent money this time next year. But I think in the absence of Stephon Tuitt, you just wanted another talented piece, an experienced piece to throw into that mix. You know, you mentioned Cam Hayward and Tyson Alualu, but those guys are obviously getting a little bit older as well too, right? What we saw from Chris Wormley last season. You were at OTAs and minicamp. We all saw the body transformation from Isaiah Loudermilk. He looks ready to go. DeMarvin Leal will be in this mix as well too. Adams showed signs in moments last season. But all that being said, I mean, I think Cam Hayward is the only surefire guy in that group that we are all 100% confident in. Even a guy like Tyson Alualu, he's coming back from a serious injury at an advanced age. Yes, Larry Ogunjobi is coming back from a serious injury, but he's only 28 years old. There's a little bit of a difference there as well, too, between being 28 and 35 coming off of serious injuries. So again, one-year deal, low risk, high reward. You needed to throw somebody else into that mix in the absence of Stephon Tuitt. I think for a lot of different reasons, this one makes sense, and it might end up being a defining move, but I think more realistically, it's just one of those moves that makes you better in the margins. The Pittsburgh Steelers got a little bit better on Tuesday evening, and this time of year, that's about all you can ask for.
That's what all you're trying to do right now. You know, unless we're talking about a big trade where you obviously gave up some serious pieces or something like that, then that's something else to evaluate. But I don't see any other way to look at this other than being a positive thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. After the Minkah Fitzpatrick deal that we talked about last week, we saw that gave them $2 million more in this year's salary cap. Now, as of right now, the moment of us recording this show, we do not have the contract details for Larry Ogunjobi. It may have come out by the time you're watching this or listening to this, but if it has, understand we didn't have it at the time. But regardless, I don't think there's much of a chance that he costs more than $8 million, if that. And even if he did, that's just, like you said, that's just 1 year. They're in a position where it's like you could legit spend, you know, an $8 million contract, and I doubt that it's that high. But you could spend an $8 million contract on a single year for a guy. You'd still have about $15 million in cap space. All but one of your rookies is signed, so you have the Steelers have that wiggle room for Omar Khan to still sign somebody in an emergency situation and still sign other veterans that they want to add to this roster at any point in time. Yep. To me, this makes a ton of sense for the Steelers, you know, financially, organizationally, position wise, and everything else that fits into it. Ogunjobi also, and I talked about this as soon as Stephon Tuitt retired. In fact, I wrote an article about whether it would be Ogunjobi or Chris Wormley on SteelersNow.com who ended up replacing Stephon Tuitt. Ogunjobi fits the model that the Steelers do in free agency. He's 28 years old. He's only like 2 years off of his rookie deal. So he's got those things going for him. He, you know, he's not too old, has experience, and there's something there. The biggest thing that surprised me about this, Wes, was that I was concerned that his involvement in the mix-up between Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph 3 years ago in 2019, when Garrett hit Rudolph over the head with his own helmet, in the fracas afterwards, Mason Rudolph had his back turned and Ogunjobi completely blindsided him after everything's over, and knocked him to the ground, and you know, was one of the people who got suspended for that incident. All of that, you know, I was wondering, like, would that play a factor? And it seems like it didn't. And it's I do wonder. I think that's going to be one of the first questions we ask when we get to these guys in training camp.
Absolutely.
What's that like? I'm sure they'll blow it off, but that's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing. I mean, Chris, I think you and I can pretty safely. It was a punk move by Ogunjobi.
It was, absolutely. I called it at the time.
But you know what? A lot of those guys in that locker room have made punk moves throughout their football career, whether it be high school, whether it be college. Yeah. That's not excusing what Ogunjobi did, but that's just the truth. It's the whole heat of the moment thing. It's the whole competitive nature thing. There's a lot of guys in that locker room that have had moments on the football field that they regret. Like I said, it might have been when they were 17 years old. It might have been when they were 27 years old. But a lot of guys in that locker room have moments that they regret. They've done things that they regret. They've maybe even just said things that they regret. These are adults. These are professionals. I'm sure it was something that they talked about with him on his visit, and clearly his answer, their conversation, was enough there for them to think, yeah, this is water under the bridge. We can move on. I think it's a real talking point. I'm not like brushing that aside, but I don't think that that's something that's going to linger for a long time. I'm sure they'll address it. They're adults. They're competitors. They'll keep it moving.
I agree. The Steelers are a professional organization. They know how this kind of stuff works. And I think not only that, but I think Mason Rudolph, because he's the main one that you would think that would be involved in this. All offensive linemen that were involved in that are gone. You know, like Marquise Pouncey, who came over swinging on Myles Garrett, David DeCastro, who was there. All those guys are out the door. So, you know, it's a matter of, does Mason get over it? Do other teammates get over who were there that day? You know, I don't foresee that becoming a thing. The Steelers rarely let such things get in the way, or at least in ways that we learn about, you know, as people outside of the organization, even if we do cover it. But again, Wes, I think that there's a lot of excitement, legitimate excitement, about Ogunjobi for what he brings. I want to talk about how he factors into what the Steelers' defensive line plans are. I don't think it's as simple as, oh yeah, just plug him in there and he's going to be there. I think there's a little bit more to this than people are going to see when we get to see these guys put the pads on in training camp and we start to get our first glimpses of what the Steelers defensive line actually will look like in 2022. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But first, I got to talk to you guys about rockauto.com. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. But why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from the chain store, but $216 from rockauto.com. Rock Auto is a family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need, from brake parts to tail lamps to motor oil and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find a solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write the Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Back here on the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Wes Euler of Steeler Nation Radio. We're talking more about the Larry Ogunjobi signing the Steelers have made. It's big. It's a big move. Even if it's not an earth-shattering move, I think it's a sign that Omar Khan and the Steelers, they are ready to make moves. They're not just sitting on their laurels. They're not just waiting around. They want talent on this defensive line. Now, the interesting thing about this that I find now with this defensive line is this depth chart is going to be very intriguing to watch out.
Yes.
They're not going to be able to keep everybody. There's going to be some names that people recognize that aren't going to be on the team. But let's work our way from top to bottom now, Wes. Let's say Cam Hayward, Tyson Alulu, you're 1A, 1B. You know what I mean? Not that Alulu is on the level of Hayward, but you get what I'm saying. Those guys are starters. They know they're starters. Sure. We know they're starters. So that's out
there.
They're
established. Yeah.
Exactly. Chris Wormley, a 7-sack guy from last year who – could have been better in run defense, but did have a lingering injury that kind of hung around there. He's in the mix there as well. That's where I think Larry Ogunjobi comes in. Also a 7-sack guy, a person who, if you watch his tape, not great against the run. We'll see how that plays out, but does get after the quarterback, has grown as a player over his 5 years in the NFL. He fits there. After that, you still have DeMarvin Leal. You still have Isaiah Loudermilk. You still have Montrevious Adams. You still have the Davis twins. There are, and I think I'm still missing some people in that mix there, but this is a very, this was a defensive line group that we thought would be deep. And then when Tuitt retired, we were like, oh man, maybe they're not that deep. And now that Ogunjobi's back, it's like, oh yeah, they are that deep.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, you know, I think this was something, one of the segments that you joined Arthur Motes and I during OTAs or minicamp, I think we kind of discussed how it really felt like competition was a theme this year for the Steelers. Not mm-hmm. that, listen, that might sound a little bit, you know, like, really? Obviously? I mean, it's an NFL, you know, it's off-season programs. It's minicamp. It's OTAs. It's training camp. Of course, there's going to be competition for every team every year. But the Steelers this year, you know, there's competition at the quarterback position. There's competition at the wide receiver position. There's competition on the offensive line. In the secondary, who's going to be the new number one corner, right? Can someone like Kazi compete with Edmonds for playing time? There's competition everywhere all over this roster. I mean, the joke that Motes kept making was, like, Chris Boswell and Najee Harris should be the only ones who are confident and not feeling any competition out here. I think now you could take that to even, you know, that gets even ramped up even more among the defensive line, because it's that classic adage, Chris, right? The, you know, we've heard Mike Tomlin say it before in training camp settings, two dogs, one bone type thing. Well, now maybe you got three or four dogs competing for one bone. So I think, listen, they're going to go out to Latrobe with that defensive line. I don't expect to see a ton of work from Cam Hayward. Don't expect to see a ton of stuff from Tyson Alualu. I think it's going to be that entire other group. Well, obviously, Cam Hayward and Tyson Alualu are going to work. It's training camp. But man, all those other guys, they're going to put them through the gauntlet. They're going to do that proverbial, let's throw a bunch of stuff up against the wall and see what sticks. And like I said, in a year where competition feels like a theme and where obviously that begins and ends at the quarterback position as it often does, man, that defensive line just got even more intriguing to watch, because you're right. There's some new faces in the mix now in terms of Ogunjobi and DeMarvin Leal being a, you know, not a first round pick, but he was still a top 100 pick for the Steelers, still a third round pick, pretty decent selection there. Obviously, you've got guys like Adams who showed flash at moments last year. You've got Wormley, who you mentioned, 7 sacks, one of the better seasons of his career last year, certainly showed that he deserves to be in that mix. The Davis brothers who aren't going to go quietly into the night. That to me, all of a sudden now, you know, maybe obviously quarterback just kind of being in its own conversation, because one, that's what the quarterback position is. And two, we haven't had quarterback controversy in 18 years here since Ben Roethlisberger was a rookie, except for maybe a couple weeks with Duck and Mason. But in terms of QB1 controversy, I think it's a great plan for the Steelers. There's some talent in that room. There's a lot of different skill sets in that room. Let's see how everything fits together. We've got a lot of options here, and we'll kind of, you know, when we get to training camp in the preseason, see how that all shakes out.
We certainly will. I think it's something more to about this depth too, about how the Steelers can deploy these guys as a unit. This is a group now where you could probably feel like Montrevious Adams, solid job when he came in last year, right? Yeah. Isaiah Loudermilk did okay, didn't do great at times, but there were flashes that you were like, hey, there's something there. If he can take the step forward next year, he can be a solid,
he's
like, you know,
second.
He's
got the
body
transformation, baby.
Exactly. And if he can at least just be a solid, like, hey, on the second group of defensive linemen, you're a good replacement there, that's going to be a good place to be.
Yeah.
The Steelers may have a situation where they can have six defensive linemen that they are excited to put on the field with fresh legs throughout the game. And I think that was their biggest problem in the run defense. Now, agreed, Larry Ogunjobi, not the best run defender out there. Could be better at that, could sharpen those that part of his game out. But you're talking about now it's Hayward, Alualu, Wormley, Ogunjobi, Liao, Adams, and still Loudermilk in that mix. You have seven guys, basically.
Yeah.
Before the Davis twins and anybody else that you might try to throw in that conversation, you have seven guys there that you could comfortably say, hey, we're rotating you. Like, you know, you guys are in for three plays. You guys are in for three plays. We're keeping you fresh all game long. And that was something the Steelers struggled with last year. They would try to put Cam Hayward out there at all times. And Cam Hayward, you know, he fought every play, but he couldn't be as fresh. And you want, and Keith Butler used to talk about this, former defensive coordinator for the Steelers. He used to talk about how they wanted their best guys fresh for that early part of the fourth quarter, because that's when you wanted them to turn it on. And that was hard to do last year, because when Tuitt went down and Alualu went down, they needed to go get Montrevious Adams. Loudermilk was a rookie. They were bringing in what Koontz, I think it was, to help on the defensive line. They were scraping from the bottom of the barrel. Now they're looking at coming in with a full barrel of guys that they're going to say, hey, we know what these guys all offer, and we've been working with them for now either a whole off season or two seasons or more on this team. I think that is where Steelers fans might be able to feel more confident that this run defense is about to look a lot different. And this defense, the defensive front in general, there's more security in this group than there was just, you know, 2 weeks ago when Tua retired.
More security, absolutely. I think that's a good way to put it. You know, and there also was, too, there's the caveat of last year at this time, the Steelers weren't preparing for life without Tyson Alualu and Stephon Tuitt.
Agreed.
That alone is a big change right there. That you know, the Alualu's back healthy, and you know Tuitt's gone, and you're not preparing and assuming that you're going to have both of those guys and healthy alongside Cam Hayward in what was one of the better, you know, groups, certainly in 2019, and I think in 2020 as well too. And then, as you just mentioned, some of the, like, there's been a clear step up in talent. I think Chris Wormley has evolved into what they were hoping for. You get Loudermilk another year. You get Adams another year. Liao's in the mix now. Ogunjobi. You know, I don't like to poo-poo guys, but, you know, they were asking Henry Mondo to do a lot of things last year. And it just,
Mondo.
You know,
I said Koontz, but that, I meant Mondo.
Mondo. It just wasn't working. They were doing a lot of square peg into the round hole thing.
Yeah.
And they were doing a lot of, you know what, maybe the better analogy is they were asking a lot of middleweights to box at heavyweight. You know what I mean?
Like
they were asking a lot of guys to fight above their weight class. This year, they're obviously the health caveat is still there. You know, Tyson Alualu was ready to go last season and got a season-ending injury in the first game of the season against the Buffalo Bills. But as long as they have a little bit better fortune in the injury department, they're going to have much more to work with in that toolbox. I think more talent and more options as well, too.
And to me, that's the bottom line here, is that if you have that many options, if someone's having a rough stretch, like say Liao comes on, or say Wormley starts the year, and he has a rough stretch and he's getting blown up, you have Ogunjobi to throw right in there and say, okay, take that spot. And if he's not doing it, DeMarvin Leal. And if he's not doing it, Montrevious. You got guys that you can move around.
Right.
And again, and the diverse guys. You know, Leal is a guy that can line up inside and outside. They, you know, they feel confidently about how they can move him around. You know, Montrevious Adams, more of an inside guy, but you can put him there knowing, like, hey, like, if we need an inside guy, he's the man for that. And Ogunjobi, you're going to want to give him more of those inside opportunities. You're going to want to, you know, let him become that interior pass rusher. And again, keeping guys fresh. The big thing here is, I think on top of everything else, you especially want Cam Hayward to have fresh legs in the fourth quarter. Yes, you don't want him 100%. feeling gassed. You don't want to worry about – you want to make sure that your ace in the hole is ready to go to destroy people in the fourth quarter. And again, not to say that you don't want him playing all game long, because you do want him playing all game long. He was PFF's second highest graded defensive lineman last year, and we all know how PFF normally dogs the Steelers when it comes to players like that. But I do think there's some other aspects of this that can really play into what the Steelers do structurally on defense. We'll talk about more of that in just a minute here. We're not done. But first, I got to talk to you guys about Built Bar. Y'all know that Built Bar has so many amazing flavors, and they have a new flavor come out, and it was Mud Pie. What does a Mud Pie taste like? Well, if you're a chocolate fan, you better sit down, because it is going to blow you away. A Mud Pie bar has rich whipped cream and chocolate mousse smothered in 100% real chocolate, and tops with cookies and cream crumble. You've got to try the Mud Pie as soon as possible. They come in both Built Bars and Built Puffs. So if you like regular Built Bars, Mud Pie's got you. If you like the Built Puffs that are easier to chew, Mud Pie's got you there as well. Just go to Built.com and check out the deliciousness for yourself. If you're not convinced, I suggest you listen to this, because there's also the health aspect for it. Because all that chocolate and whipped cream and all that taste and awesomeness, it's healthy for you. Built products all are low calorie, high protein, low sugar. The Mud Pie bar and puffs, they're packaged in 17 grams of protein, only 150 calories, and only 8 grams of sugar. That's like your mom baking the most deliciously creamy chocolate mud pie, wrapped it up just for you. Oh, but it was actually good for you the whole time, and she wouldn't be mad about you eating it. That's where Mud Pies come in, and that's where all Built Bars come in, as they're covered in 100% real chocolate. So check out the Mud Pie bars and the Mud Pie puffs right now on Built.com. You won't regret it. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order when you visit Built.com. Back here in the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Wes Euler, as he's not playing with his hair now. Wes, you got a mustache going, or is that just a shadow?
It's a little bit of both. It's more so just I haven't shaved in a couple days, but I do got some Freddie Merc. I do got some Freddie. This is Chris. If I don't shave for like 3 or 4 days, this is all I get right here. Wow. Just a little, just like a Freddie Mercury vibe, I guess, if you will.
Low maintenance. This is why everyone calls you Babyface Euler. No one actually calls him that, but he's still.
But
we all
could.
Talk about how. We all talk about how this man does not age. It's ridiculous. He still looks like he could be 16. Anyways, back to the whole.
Still
mantra.
Use my student ID for the discount at the movie theater. Don't tell on me though.
Just pay for AMC Stubbs. It's so much better. But anyways, back to the whole Larry Ogunjobi thing. I don't want to just focus this on the defensive line's impact. But I also think this very much shows the Steelers are very committed to fixing the problems that broke down their defense last year. I talked about how when they signed Minkah Fitzpatrick to his long-term deal, how they needed to make sure that he could be the best version of himself. He couldn't be that last year because the run defense wasn't fixed. And it wasn't just Stephon Tuitt and Tyson Lulu not being there that caused all that. But that was more than just one way, because not only were the defensive linemen not holding down their gaps, they were allowing the Steelers linebackers at the time, Devin Bush and Joe Schobert, to get eaten up by offensive linemen play after play after play. Those guys couldn't get to the edges, couldn't get outside the tackles consistently, and that allowed teams to run on the Steelers, and it made the Steelers the worst rushing defense in the NFL for the first time in franchise history since 1941. That's how bad that was. Yeah, I literally clicked on every single Steelers season until I got back to 1941 to get that research. But point being, part of what Ogunjobi has to do is he has to learn how to eat blocks better. That's something I don't think he did proficiently with the Bengals or with the Browns. He can improve. He's a 28-year-old professional. I'm sure that they're going to be talking about that, you know, with him all of June and July, leading up until late July's start of training camp. But a lot of what the defensive line do, it does. It's not just about getting the sacks like Ogunjobi, Cam Hayward, and Chris Wormley had. It's about taking on double teams, being a disruptive force, keeping your linebackers clean, and letting them make the play sometimes, especially when it comes to the run game.
100%. You know, I know this is something you and I have discussed probably here previously on SNR as well, too. It's not an excuse because you have to control what you can control, but it is just reality that, man, every offensive lineman the Steelers played against last year, not everyone, but the majority of the interior offensive linemen that the Steelers played against last year were getting to the second level with ease. I mean, Joe Schobert and Devin Bush had guys on them before they could even really move or react. And again, as a football player, you've got to control what you can control. And those two certainly could have been better. But when you're struggling, when you're reeling, when it feels like all the momentum is going against you, that can be one of those things that really just tips the scales. When your linebackers just feel like they don't even have a look out there on rundowns because they've got, you know, some 300-pound dude in their face right after the snap every single play because their defensive lineman can't hold any blocks. So even if Ogunjobi and some of these other guys aren't this magic elixir in the run game, if they can do that, like you just said, if they can just not get blown off the ball, if they can just hold blocks there to allow guys like Miles Jack and Devin Bush and TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith as well, too, to operate there and to have room and to be able to read and diagnose and attack and play downfield. That's that classic thing, right, Chris? You hear that so much about defenses wanting to play downfield. We heard that a lot about Vince Williams when he was at his best as a linebacker for the Steelers against the run, his ability to play downfield. You've got to have defensive linemen that can just hold their own to free up your linebackers, to give them that opportunity to attack and to play aggressive and to be on the front foot instead of getting pushed back or trying to get around blocks. That alone can make a huge difference. And I think, you know, what you just referenced there, if any Steelers fans are looking for specifics or for examples, if you go back last year and watch the tie against the Lions and the loss against Minnesota on Thursday night, those were the blueprints last year for how the Steelers defensive linemen could not hold blocks, how opposing offensive lines were just able to get all to the second and sometimes even third levels of the defense. That can't happen this year. And if you can just fix that element of the run game defense, Chris, I think you have enough there to at least be adequate. You might not be a top 10 run defense. You might not be a top 15 run defense. But if you're even if you're just in the high teens, you know, 17, 18, 19 range, that'll be enough of an improvement to allow, I think, the rest of the defense to have even more of that, you know, that symbiotic ability to play against other offenses. You need that continuity. You need all those things to work in unison. And that certainly for the Steelers defense in 2022. We know a couple things. We know they can get after the quarterback. We know they've got some talent in the secondary. That's been the case. But if they can just get better, not great, just better against the run, that's going to go a long way in the rest of the defense as well, too, being able what they need to do. TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith and Cam Hayward and those guys are going to have even more opportunities to pin their ears back and go get quarterbacks. Guys like Minka Fitzpatrick and Levi Wallace and Cam Sutton and Akella Weatherspoon are going to have even more opportunities for splash plays on the back end. That's what you're looking for from this defense that we all know was already the highest paid defense in the NFL. And that number's probably only going to go up here, obviously. Will go up with the addition of Ogunjobi. There are going to be expectations on this defense, as there should be. And, man, if they can just show improvement in the run defense, not something astronomical where they're in the top 10, but if they can just get into the teens somewhere, this has an opportunity to be that truly elite defense, you know, that we saw in 2019 and that we all think this team's going to need, particularly early on in this season while the young offense figures it all out.
Well, certainly, Wes. I think that is where Steelers fans hope. And I think it actually pertains to something that Mike Tomlin talked about on the Pivot podcast when he was talking with that other, it premiered actually on Tuesday. I do suggest people go check that out. It was like a full hour and a half long conversation with between Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, and Fred Taylor, and they had on Mike Tomlin. It was a fascinating conversation. And as that was happening, Mike Tomlin at one point, among the many things that he talked about how, yeah, he doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger and people are looking at that. But he said one of the things that that frees up is an allocation of resources and money, and something they haven't been able to do with Ben Roethlisberger is address other positions. And now he's pointed out, now you're going to be expecting more of those positions that you were able to invest money into. You know, there were times they couldn't pay that many defensive linemen to stay on the roster. You just couldn't find the funding to do that when you're paying, you know, 30, you know, however many, the, you know, millions of dollars it was that you're paying Ben, that was the highest paid player on your team for the past, you know, 15 years or something like that. You know, you had to pay your stars to stick around, like your TJ Watts, like now your Minkah Fitzpatrick's, or, you know, a few years ago, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, guys like that. But it made it tough to address depth. And now they're doing that. You're seeing them do that. And I think that's a sign the Steelers do have a commitment to be better at those aspects of football. I think you're going to see a much higher expectation for those depth guys across the board, especially in the places that they're investing in the most. That defensive front, we'll see how the linebackers play out. We just talked about on yesterday's episode with a caller who called in asking about, hey, what about the linebacker position? What about, you know, what about, you know, getting some help for Devin Bush and Miles Jack? Should they go down if they're not comfortable with Robert Spillane? You know, what about cornerback? You know, what about the offensive line? I foresee Omar Khan getting aggressive and making some moves, but this was a defensive line move that they didn't have to trade for a 28-year-old. They probably just brought him in, wanted to see about it, see about his health. They wanted to see what his mindset was, you know, probably because, you know, that incident. I doubt they forgot about that incident.
They definitely wanted to talk to him about that. Yeah.
Right. And be like, hey man, you know, we're being professionals here. We expect you to be a professional and hold this line. That's where I see Ogunjobi fitting in here, and I see Omar Khan is nowhere near done with fitting out this roster. Even though now the roster is full with 90 players, they have that. I would not be surprised if we hear about a Chris Boswell extension soon, and then if during training camp we might hear about some trades or some moves to get some more players that are more veteran experienced players to fill out the rest of this depth chart on both sides of the ball. So we'll talk about that as that goes along. Wes, finish your last point here.
No, I was just going to agree with you. I was going to say, even with this addition of Ogunjobi, I still don't think the Steelers roster is complete. There's still going to be some tinkering, like you mentioned, whether it be a trade, whether it be some surprise releases elsewhere across the league during training camp. I don't think Omar Khan and company are done, putting their final fingerprints on this roster.
Absolutely. We'll keep you up to date with all Steelers activity right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Read more about this move also on my website that I write for, SteelersNow.com, to get all the great updates. Wes, thanks so much for joining me here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let people can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yes, sir. Host the Steelers Blitz with Arthur Motes on Steelers Nation Radio. You can get us in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts, Steelers Blitz. That's just all you search, nice and simple. Our shows are uploaded, just about a half an hour, or hour or so every time after we do them. In the off season now, we are Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 days a week at noon. If you want to listen to us live as well, Steelers.com, Steelers mobile app. But then once we get into training camp here and all that, we're going to be back to our normal full-time schedule. So rocking and rolling as we get ready to hit the season. Steelers Blitz, wherever you get your podcasts. And then, if you're a tortured WVU soul like me, ears and beers for your Mountaineer listening as well.
Absolutely. Do check out Wes. He does an amazing job with Arthur Motes on Steeler Nation Radio and everywhere on Steeler Nation Radio, as well as his Ears and Beers podcast with Adam Crowley. Thanks again, Wes. Thank you all for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, YouTube. Like our videos on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes. It's a daily show, so we're not done talking about Larry Ogunjobi or the Steelers defense. We'll talk about that more and more about Mike Tomlin's interview. There was a lot of different angles to cover. We'll be hitting a bunch of them over the next few weeks because he drops several nuggets that I thought were fascinating about his time coaching and what he sees in the NFL right now. Again, from Chris Carter and Wes Euler, thanks for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. Be back on your screen and in your ears very soon.